This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to it, everybody. Finally, a Friday. A Friar Friday at that, as we get underway with Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Kansas City, where the Padres begin a series tonight against the surprising Kansas City Royals. Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace. We got a couple of hours with you. And on the program today, our Friar Friday interview with Luis Ariz. Very excited. Looking forward to that coming up in about a half an hour. So don't go anywhere. But in the meantime, chance to chit chat about the Friars, the roller coaster of a season that they're having. And I figured I could get away with that as long as Mike Schilt's not listening. You know, I don't want to get anybody angry. But it does seem like that's what the rest of us feel like. It's been a bit of a roller coaster. Maybe not one, Tony, with a lot of, you know, big falls and big climbs. Just kind of a
sounds like a terrible roller coaster to me.
Yeah, it's not a very good roller coaster, right? It's really. I mean, you know, the most they've won in a row is what, four. The most they've lost in a row is five. So, it's kind of been up a little, down a little, and you know, the good news is it's just going to take one little hot streak here. You know, you win 10 out of 12 games, you're going to be looking really good, and maybe it's the start tonight. Who knows?
Yeah, man. It's hopefully that they're going to need to play well against this Kansas City Royals team that has been kind of the Cinderella story, if you will, of Major League Baseball this year. This is a team that last year people were talking about this team like they could do what they're doing this year. That didn't end up taking place, but certainly this year they are off to a tremendous start in an American League Central that, you know, has the Guardians, who are also playing some pretty good.
Yeah, what is going on in the what did they put into the water in the American League Central this year? I mean, it's usually the worst division in baseball, but you know, the Twins have done their thing. The Tigers are improved. You know,
that's really both sides, right? I mean,
yeah, National
League Central and American League Central are much more competitive than they've been in the past. And again, the Royals right at the front. They're only three games out. They're 12 games over 500 at this point. And so they're playing some good baseball. So the Padres are going to have to come in and play well. I'm hopeful, man. I just like what I saw from Toddy.
Yeah, you were the one talking about it, and the statistics are backing you up. They're saying that he's hitting the ball a lot, you know, the exit velocity and, you know, whatever they look at, the BAPIP and the this and the that and the other. But
Chris always mentions the BAPIP.
Well, the BAPIP's the only one I can think of, and I have no idea even what it stands for. But
batting average on balls in play.
Thank you, Scraby. Thank you. Get off my lawn now and just tell me what his batting average is. That's all I want to know. But, yeah, hopefully Fernando's rolling. I said yesterday, too, I think I need to see Manny. And maybe, are you seeing this at all, Tony? It doesn't seem like he's getting the ball in the air as much as Manny usually does. I'm telling you, line drives, some deep fly balls the other way. It's been a lot of stuff on the ground this year. And even his base hits are a lot of ground balls. Not every time, obviously. But, what do you see there, too?
I'm not sure. To me, it looks like he kind of fighting himself in the box a little bit, fighting his body. It just seems like he's not getting to the position that he wants to on time. And so why that's happening, I'm not 100% sure. But Listen, all three, we don't need everybody to get going at the same time. I mean, but just having one of those guys going, because they are the type of players that when they get going, they can single-handedly carry you. And so if Toddy gets going or Manny gets going or Ha-Sung can get going, I don't know that Ha-Sung can carry a team by himself at one time, but certainly those other two guys can. And if, you know, he can get rolling, I mean, that's a big deal. And the reason why I brought up Toddy was because he did look different in that series. So can he carry it into a series with the Royals? They've had some good pitching here, so it's going to be a good series. It should be a good series between these two teams.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. You got Michael Wacha, former Padre, on the mound tonight. We got to know him pretty well last year. I think he did two or three interviews with us, and you know, really enjoyed getting to know him. And he hasn't been as dominant as Seth Lugo. My goodness, Seth Lugo, the former Padre, has been one of the best pitchers in the American League. Padres will not see him in this series, but we'll also see old friend Hunter Renfro in the lineup tonight for the Kansas City Royals. So some familiar names, and one name that I think you know, everybody should be wary of, and I bet you the Padres have him circled in the scouting report. That's Bobby Witt Jr. You talk about a guy going to the American League Central in the middle of the country, and nobody knows who he is. This guy's so good that people do know who he is, and I think he's actually got more multi-hit games this year than Luis Arraez does. So, if, you know, anybody's doing that, doing something right, and he does it with some power, too.
He leads baseball, and he's had multiple hits in over 40% of his games this season.
Yeah.
He goes Bobby Witt, Shohei Ohtani, Luis Arraez are tied for second, and then Jeremy Peña.
Yeah, he hits it with authority, and then he runs the bases if he gets on, too. So.
Yeah, he's got 16 bags. I mean, listen, the first four guys in that lineup are in tonight's lineup, all right? Mikel Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pascantino, and Salvador Perez. I mean, 34 RBIs, 40 RBIs, 35 RBIs, 41 RBIs.
Wow.
So that's where the meat of their run-scoring production is coming from. The bottom of their lineup, you know, it gets weaker, as it goes down. And so at least that's how they're swinging the bat right now. There's certainly some guys who could get going, but that's the part of the lineup the Padres will have to worry about the most. Padres going with their standard lineup against righties today. Arraez, Tatis Jr.
You can't say it without the sounder.
Sorry.
Tony.
I tried to sneak it in before he
won't
get
let
it out,
you.
But
he won't let you.
He was ready. Profar hitting third, Crone, Machado, Peralta, Merrill, Camposano, Kim.
Yeah.
For the pod. So.
You know, the other guy you mentioned, and as we kind of scouting the Royals, I guess, a little bit, but what has gotten into Salvador Perez? He was there with me the day Abner Doubleday and I laid out the first baseball field. I mean, he's, you know, I thought he was honestly 3 or 4 years past his prime, but he's found the fountain of youth this year.
He's been good every single year.
No, but not like this. Do you think this?
Maybe not. This dude has been, I mean, he's been that guy for quite some time.
Okay.
I mean, there might have been a little slippage, a little, but he's always been this dude since he's arrived. And so,
oh, man, he's hitting 320 this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's never done that before.
He hit 333 in 2020. Yeah. Oh, that's 2020, never mind.
In a short season.
Yeah, but he hit 48 home runs in 2021. He hit 23 last year, 23 the year before. So
I don't necessarily know that the 320 is going to remain, but all the other numbers are on par of what he typically does.
The thing that I was thinking of, I mean, Perez was part of that Royals World Series team. You know, and you look at the rest of those guys, they're all pretty much, you know, out of baseball now, a la Moustakas, Hosmer, and some others.
Couldn't name anybody else.
I can't really remember anybody else from that team other than
what year was that?
Salvador Perez. I mean, was it 2015 they beat the Mets?
2015.
They had Gordon, they had Moustakas, they had
Alex Gordon,
the late Ventura was on that pitching staff. They had Shields was on that staff.
Yeah.
Escobar, yeah. They had some players on that one.
It was a good team.
I'm looking at the roster now.
Oh, yeah, he was there for that 1 year, wasn't he?
Edison Volquez. Johnny Cueto was even on that team at some point.
Really?
The year.
Cueto and Volquez were on the same team. I used to get those guys
confused.
Is this
the Chris Young pitcher that is now the GM of the... Yes, Chris Young was also on that team, it says.
The Rangers.
Wait, on the
GM.
Royals?
He must have snuck in for a cup of coffee with them.
He was 36 years old. He went 11-6. It says,
"Wow, that was a the strength." We're talking way too much about the Royals, but that was the strength of that team was actually the bullpen. They had a great bullpen, if I remember, Wade Davis and Kelvin Herrera and Holland, I think, was the closer.
Greg Holland.
They were really
Ryan
good.
Ryan Matson. Yeah, didn't we talk about him the other day?
Ryan Matson got a mention the other day on our show.
How did we get to talking about this Royals
team? Yeah, this is way too much on the web.
Because Chris said what they won, or they was trying to name people
I was
that
trying
won
to remember
World Series,
Salvador Perez's teammates from the World Series. All right, let's get back to the Padres, Tony, because they are playing a good team. And, you know, I think the narrative in San Diego has been all year that the Padres play well against good teams, then they don't play well against bad teams. I don't really buy into that. I mean, you know, they've had some good series against good teams. They've had some not-so-good series against good teams. The Phillies and Yankees come to mind there. To me, you can talk about whoever's on the Padres schedule, and right now it's the Royals, and then early next week it'll be the Angels. I'm not worried about the other teams. I'm worried about the Padres. If they do their thing, they can beat people. And if they don't do their thing, they can't beat people because we've already been discussing this team's not good enough to, you know, overcome a whole lot of mistakes and things of that nature. So,
yeah, no, that's spot on.
I think, do our thing and they can win the series. So
this is far less about, you know, who they're playing, and we've said this a couple of different times, far less about who they're playing and more about how they play themselves, right? And it has a lot of time, most of the time it has nothing to do with the opposition, right?
Because
the Padres have faced some of the best, they face some of the best pitching in the league and have done well, you know, and it really just boils down to their execution. And so we'll get a chance to see a little bit of that tonight as they take on the Royals. But this Royals team is no joke, and I think they know that going in. I mean, I'm sure Mike is he's not one to not have one of those details, those type of details ready to roll. So,
well, Tony Gwynn Jr. will be heading down in a little bit to visit with Mike Shildt and the pregame scrum. I think AJ Cassavell, if he were, I don't think he's traveling yet. I talked to him at the last homestand. I don't think he's traveling yet, but if he were, because he's a new daddy. But if AJ Cassavell were traveling, I think he should show up to the pregame thing with a roller coaster T-shirt. I think that'd be really funny.
Just really great.
That would break. Don't you think that would break the ice, or do you think Mike Schilt would get mad? Tony?
I mean, it would break the ice.
I'm not sure. Honestly,
you think he might get mad?
It seems like Mike Schilt has a good sense of humor.
I think he's got a good sense of humor. I don't know.
He's got a great sense of humor. Yeah. I just don't know if he would catch that one. We'll see.
Hopefully we don't.
I don't really
want to
see.
Yeah. That's the way my mind works. The other good news for the Padres, there's two areas that they have been really, really good this year in terms of, you know, statistically in Major League Baseball. One, they're one of the best hitting teams in baseball against right-handed pitching. They're also one of the best hitting teams in baseball on the road. And that is what they've got tonight, a right-handed pitcher on the road. So we'll hope that it works out. Luis Arraez is coming up in just a little bit. Don't stray too far. Happy to have you with us. Underway for a short 2-hour get-together today. Friar Friday, the Gwynn and Chris Show. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby. And we'll keep things rolling along here after a short break on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, welcome back to Win and Chris. Underway for a Friar Friday. 2:19 is the time. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Kansas City. You know, on game day, Tony's in and out. He'll be back here in a few minutes when we visit with Luis Arise, our Friar Friday interview from Kansas City coming up shortly. Quick trivia for you, Scraby. Who is leading Major League Baseball in batting average right now?
I'm going to take a wild guess and say Luis Arise.
How about that? Yeah, he is. He has moved on top in the baseball batting race. He is a minuscule of a percentage ahead of Mookie Betts right now. But, yeah, this guy's all right. He won the batting title in 2022 with Minnesota. He won the batting title in 2023 with Miami. Is he going to win the batting title in 2024 with a third different team in 3 years?
Well, MLB Network tweeted a question about that, saying, should he be in the Hall of Fame if he wins his third batting title in three years?
Go straight to the Hall of Fame just for doing that.
I mean, it makes it great, but...
Yeah, I don't know that he's quite ready for the Hall of Fame, but...
a presumptuous tweet by
the MLB
Network.
It doesn't change the fact that I'm loving this guy. He hit 378 with the Padres so far. 378. Since joining the Padres. He'll be on the show in about 15-20 minutes. Tony will be back with us for that interview. A couple of quick updates for you out there. College baseball. The NCAA tournament is underway, and we have the University of San Diego in Santa Barbara this afternoon. They're taking on Oregon, first game of the regionals. Time is running out on USD, but they are starting to rally here. They're trailing 4-1. They are batting. USD is batting in the bottom of the eighth inning, and they just got the first two runners on. So stay tuned. We'll see if USD can pull that game out. No team from San Diego, the Aztecs, Toreros, etc., has ever advanced out of an NCAA baseball regional. That's a little hard to believe.
That is hard to believe.
When you consider, you know, we had Tony Gwynn and we had Mark Grace and we had Travis Lee and we had Strasburg and all of the things. But yeah, the Aztecs never got out of a regional, nor have the Toreros yet gotten out of a regional. So they got their work cut out for them here in the first game. But it is double elimination. So, you know, either way, they'll still be alive. But it'd be nice, much better to win that first game.
College baseball's no pitch clock. Do you think they'll ever go to a pitch clock? Because I'm watching them, they have mound visits. I know college baseball games can last forever. Sometimes.
They can last a while.
Do you think they'll ever do it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I think that I think, you know, you've got to have the ability to have a pitch clock in every college baseball stadium.
Some places, not
right.
Others.
That's the big problem. The NBA playoffs, the finals are coming up, and... Now, the finals aren't coming up until next Thursday.
Oh my gosh. I love
a one-week break between...
What in the world?
Yeah, what is this, the Super Bowl all of a sudden? We have to take a whole week off?
By
Me
then.
Too. I'll have to be reminded. But if you're into it, Inside the Green Room with Danny Green.
Ooh.
It's a podcast that takes you beyond the scoreboard. Three-time NBA champion Danny Green. Insight on the NBA that you won't hear anywhere else. Plus, get behind-the-scenes access to what life is like in the association. Follow Inside the Green Room with Danny Green in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Yes, the Dallas Mavericks made quick work of the T-Wolves last night.
What a boring game.
It was a terrible game. I mean, really, I mean, if you're a Mavericks fan,
yeah,
I guess it was okay. But for the general viewer tuning in to see, you know, is Minnesota going to get back in the series? Are they're at home? The Ant-Man, all of the excitement. Luka Doncic was unbelievable in the first quarter. He scored 20 points, and he hit at least one shot from the center court logo. Maybe two.
I did see him take one, and I was like, what is he doing?
Swish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Doncic was incredible.
It was that night for him.
Yeah, they put the game away early, so it'll be a Boston-Dallas NBA final. You know.
Yeah.
Not that exciting to me.
No.
I think when you get the Final Four, Boston is, you know, what they wanted over Indiana. And I'm pretty sure Dallas is probably what they wanted over Minnesota. So in that regard, the networks and everybody get what they want. But to me, it's kind of a ho-hum final.
Yeah, two teams I do not care about at all.
Yeah. I mean, either the Celtics are going to get one, which I hate, or Kyrie Irving's going to get one, which is going to – I don't hate that as much. You know what? I'm kind of starting to come around on Kyrie a little bit.
You are softening on
him.
I think that as he gets older, he's coming around a little bit,
He's softening, too. I've also said that I don't like Doncic, but I do like him when he just plays basketball. He's unbelievably good.
Yeah.
You know, I just wish he would stop complaining all the time. It takes away from, you know, his greatness, to be honest with you. He doesn't need to complain.
Yeah.
He's really a good player. So anyway, Mark Cuban could win his second NBA title.
He doesn't own the team anymore, though, right?
What? He doesn't? He's on the bench every game.
No, I think he's a part of the team.
Oh,
I think he sold the team.
Oh, I don't know. I thought he was still the owner.
Are you sure?
Check that out. Do a little checking on that.
He is
the
former principal owner and current minority owner.
Okay,
of
so
the
he's
Dallas
a minority
Mavericks.
Owner.
Yes, that's why he's on.
But yeah, he's there. I mean, he's at every game, so... we'll see. But you're right. I mean, I think it's...
He sold it to the Las Vegas Sands people, the corporation out there. So
okay.
He has 27% of the
team.
All right,
so he's still kind of the face of the franchise.
Oh, he's definitely the face.
Yeah. But you're right. I'm right. The NBA has no business making us wait 7 days to start the NBA Finals.
They can't move it up.
I guess not. I don't know. I mean, these
TV schedules.
I guess it's all the TV, but here it's unfair in a couple of ways. One, nobody wants to wait a week to watch another game. Two, these teams and players are not used to having this much time off. They just aren't. And now all of a sudden you're going to get ready for the NBA Finals and everybody's got to take an entire week off before they start. Great news for USD fans. Three-run homer for the Toreros.
Bottom of the eighth.
Ties it up. 4-4. Who hit that home run? I don't know.
106 off the bat.
Oh, it was just crushed like deep over the right center field fence.
That's got to be such a terrible feeling being the pitcher that comes in to get this guy out, and then he ends up giving up a three-run home run.
I think it's an unbelievable feeling. Jacob Christian. Well, that's their guy.
Oh, USD's. He's the guy.
He's their guy. He's okay. The player of the year in the West Coast Conference.
There you go.
And a former player at Point Loma Nazarene, where he was player of the year in that conference before he went to USD.
So basically, he's just player of the year anywhere he
goes. Just came up huge for University of San Diego. That game is now tied 4-4 in the bottom of the eighth.
Well done. He took off his shirt in the dugout?
Okay, I don't know about that.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Well,
he was that excited.
I didn't realize he was now Brandy Chastain.
Or Jose Altuve.
Right. Don't take my shirt off.
All right,
so Christian just hit the big three-run homer, Jacob Christian. So USD has tied it up with Oregon 4-4. Braden Suprenant's calling that game.
Don't take my shirt off.
All right, I'm going to have to go see Twitter to get this.
You got
to
get Braden's call somewhere.
Yeah,
because he had to just go crazy on that home run
there. We're going
to
rate Braden's radio
call. That tied the game in the bottom of the eighth. You got to find that somewhere. All right, we're going to have to we're going to play you a little Mike Shildt, but we'll maybe do that in a little bit because we got to make way for this Luis Arraez visit, which is coming up here in about 5 or 10 minutes. So I don't want to step on that. Yeah, we're excited to have him on. I mean, the guy has been just incredible for the Padres. I mean, really, he has been. And, you know, let's just hope he can keep it going. I mean, it's not his fault that the offense is stalling. He's getting on base almost every time up, it seems like. So, you know.
It does seem like that.
I mean, Fernando's got to start coming through. And, you know, you heard Tony in the open. He said he thinks Fernando's starting to show some signs. I'm hoping he's right. By the way.
I'm hoping he's right, too, because I don't see the same signs that Tony sees. But Tony is our expert.
He's a little more of an expert on it than you or I
absolutely.
Are. So hopefully he's right. Not only is Arraez number one in hitting, but Betts, Otani are 2-3. And then the number four hitter in all of baseball is Jerickson.
Oh,
How about that?
I thought about him, but I didn't think he was number four.
Number four, 323. And then number five, they're playing tonight, Salvador Perez of the Royals. So
320.
320 for Salvador Perez. Your guy Bobby Witt, 309. Nine homers, 40 RBIs, 16 bags.
He had six. He had a six
Bobby
RBI
Witt
game.
Jr.
I think he had a two-homer, six RBI game last week.
He's good. He's good. So
yeah, he's on my fantasy team, Chris.
I'm aware of that. You have told me dozens of times.
I love Bobby Witt.
So
I've watched a lot of Royals this year, Chris, and
because of him.
Because of him, and he, not just him, but the Royals are really good, and I'm kind of nervous about this series.
All right, well, I'm really nervous. All right, we are back. I'm Gwen and Chris, and we are excited for our Friar Friday interview. Going out to Kansas City, and joining us, Padres first baseman, and then the National League's leading hitter, Luis Arraez. Here on Gwen and Chris. Luis, how are you? It has been fantastic having you in San Diego, and I imagine, at least it sure seems like watching you, that the fit has been pretty good for you so far.
Well, here's the thing, is I'm watching right now.
Oh, no, he's not there yet?
He's not there yet.
Okay.
He's actually about to grab the phone right now.
Okay.
Oh,
That's funny.
I love that we have someone there.
Yes,
that's
Tony
great.
Can keep an eye on it. Luis, do we have you, sir?
Hello?
Hello. There he is. Luis Arraez. This is Chris here. We got, of course, Tony's upstairs in the booth, and we appreciate you joining us. I was asking, Luis, you know, we love having you in San Diego. How is it working out for you? It seems like it's been a pretty good fit so far.
Yeah, everything is pretty good. I'm excited to be here with San Diego Padres right now. So I'm enjoying here a lot, so, you know. So I'm in the great team. We have a really good clubhouse, amazing manager, amazing coach staff. So I'm excited. I'm happy to be here.
Luis, obviously getting traded isn't always that fun, especially when you got a family and, you know, you have to, you know, now pick up and move. I mean, how was that part difficult for you in terms of leaving Miami? I mean, I've talked to those guys on there. We've heard what Skip had to say about you having to leave. It seemed like it's been pretty tough on that organization, or at least those guys in the clubhouse. Was it tough for you having to leave?
I mean, yes, because I don't want to lie. I miss my family there because it's too far now, but I understand. I open my mind. This is my job, you know, so... Now I'm far, but my hair, my everything is still there, you know. So especially with my family, I miss my ex-teammates, but now I got a really good team, you know. So I'm enjoying a lot here in San Diego, and I'm excited. I'm excited to be here and then do my little thing to win games, you know. So I love Miami, the city, and then I love San Diego, California, you know.
Yeah, Luis Arraez, man, we're loving this guy. I mean, he's hitting 378 since he joined the Padres. You grew up in Venezuela, and I'm just curious, Luis, everybody's kind of compared you to Tony's dad, Tony Gwynn, and a little Rod Carew. And, I mean, these guys played quite a while ago. How much did you really ever get to see these guys? Or where was your, you know, ability to hit with contact? Where was that? Where did that all come from?
I mean, that's come from Venezuela. Like, when I was born, my dad teaches me how I need to hit the ball, you know. So my dad always say, hey, son, hit the ball to the left field. Hit the ball to the left field and then just try to make contact. And that's what I do right now. So I just try to hit the ball left field, try to make contact. I hate strikeout, you know. I don't like strikeout. I mean, everybody don't like it, but I just enjoy when I hit the ball. But because baseball is hard to hit, but when I put my mind, I gotta hit the ball to the left field, I do a lot. So I wanna say thanks God.
Luis, who was the guy as a kid that you saw that you were like, that's who I want to pattern my swing? I mean, obviously you've had influence from Rod Carew. You've had a chance to have conversations, but as a kid, who were the big leaguers that you watched, that you saw, and was like, okay, this is who I want to pattern my game after?
Andy Chavez.
Yeah.
I played center field a lot when I was young. I played a lot of center field, but Andy Chavez left-handed, and I'm a righty. So anybody want to sign me because I was slow. And then I don't throw hard, you know. So Andy was so fast. And then when I saw Andy, we played together in Venezuela, in winter ball. We played together, and then he teach me how I need to bond. He bond a lot, so he teach me how I need to bond. And then Andy's one of my favorites.
That's a great Chavez.
I actually played with Andy in my Guianas when I was in Venezuela. He was an awesome teammate, and he could play, man. He could really play.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, we played together in Venezuela too. So he's amazing. I was close with him every time. Andy, I need this. He was there. Andy, I need. Can you teach me how I need to bond? He was there. He respects
awesome.
His game, man. So he's still my favorite.
Ah, all right. Luis Ariza is with us. Hey, Luis, can you take us through your at-bat? One thing I've noticed, and I've talked to Tony about it, and we see you on the TV, you know, when you step into the batter's box, the first thing you do is look around the entire field. It's almost as if you're saying, okay, where's everybody so I can hit it where they're not? Yeah. Is that your mindset? Because I don't see a lot of batters actually do that to the extent that you do that.
Yeah, because we have a lot of positioning. And then I watch a lot of third base, shortstop, second base, and the first base. And then I watch the left field. They play me every time close to the line. And then I say, okay, if I hit the ball to the line, maybe I'm out. So I got to hit the ball to the gap. And then that's why I look around. And then it's worked for me, so I need to still do that.
I mean, I hope people can just take a step back and understand, like, how difficult of a task that is.
Yes, it's one thing, Tony, to look where you want to hit it. It's another thing to actually do it.
Right. There's no doubt. But that kind of brings me to my next question, Luis. I mean, I know at some point you've invited me to come see this pregame routine. However, what is it about that routine that gets you dialed in to be able to handle your swing? It just seems like your accuracy in terms of getting to the baseball is better than everybody else, and I assume that is a lot to do with the kind of the work you put in prior to the game.
Yeah, I mean, I do my routine work in the hotel room when I'm in the road. I do it with my hitting coach, Fran Valdez, every day, no matter what time. I said the early games I do it here in the stadium, and it worked for me because I put in my mind, hey, I need to do this, I need to use my hands. I put the tee outside, middle, inside, and I don't use balls when I do my routine in the hotel room. So I put my mind ready to go. So when I get here to the stadium, I'm ready to go.
Luis Arraez is our guest. We're ecstatic to have him in San Diego and thrilled to have him on the show today. Okay, Luis, you're one of the best hitters in baseball. You know, you make contact better than anybody else. What would you do right now against your buddy, Jeremiah Estrada, who has struck out 13 in a row? what would be your plan against him right now?
Hey, my plan is get ground ball to shortstop. He ground ball to shortstop. And then if I find a barrel, I get my baby. So he's tough, man. He threw fastball straight. He threw fastball cut a little bit, and he got pretty good splitter. And then we got a fight, but I think I got it. I got to pay him. And then let's see what happens.
I would expect you to say nothing different
him.
On
yeah,
that one.
That's funny.
Luis, let me ask you. We got a few more minutes with you before we got to let you roll. You've bounced around a little bit in the infield. You've played some first. You've played some second. Where are you most naturally comfortable at defensively?
I love playing second base. Yeah. Okay. I signed with the Twins when I was young. I got 60 years old. I signed with shortstop. I play a lot of shortstop in minor league. But my position, my favorite position right now is second base. But I understand now that I can play second right now or first. And then if they put me play first or second, I go play second. But if they need me play first, I'll be available to play first in the age.
Yeah, he's doing whatever he can to help this ball club, Luis Arraez. Last thing for me, Luis, you've got two batting titles. I think you got a chance to win a third one this year. And, of course, you know, you're in a city with where Tony's dad won 8 batting titles. I mean, it's unbelievable. 8 batting titles. How many batting titles do you think you can win, or would you like to win, or does that matter a lot to you?
I wanna win couples. I don't know how much, but how many. But I wanna win couple. So let's see first if I won this one this year. So I just wanna be healthy. If I'm healthy, man, I can win a lot of batting titles. So I just wanna say thanks to God to put me there, and then if I'm healthy, man, I can do that. So I don't know if I win 10, 8, I don't know, but it's something coming, so I don't know.
I think you got a chance to win quite a few
if you could
stay healthy. Yeah. And so here's to long-term health for Luis and this ball club. Luis, we appreciate you coming on, man, and spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, my man.
Thanks, Luis. There he goes, Luis Arraez. Oh, man, what a fun guy. What a fun guy.
Man. And I love the confidence of like, oh
sure. Yeah,
oh,
bring Jeremiah. I think I can get him.
I got him.
I think I get him. But the first thing he said is, I just want to hit a ground ball to shortstop. And then he figured, you know, he'd take it a little further and get a base hit. But
that's his mindset, ground ball to shortstop. But,
yeah.
I mean, obviously he's trying to do more damage. But that's just how – it's a thought that I used to hear my dad say often. I mean – when things got bad, and I don't know if you guys saw it, but I've lost my train of thought. This is the second time in 2 days.
Yeah,
this has
you're getting old, Luis Tony.
Arraez,
getting
old. Your dad.
No,
it was.
Gosh, go ahead. Y'all keep talking. I'll figure it out. Give me a second.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Here, Chris. I got it.
What do you got?
Okay, hold on. I got it. We're gonna wait for Tony.
Oh, I figured it out.
Oh, boom. Dang it! We're the only like 1 second of Jeopardy music.
Yeah, Yonder. I don't know if you guys heard him tell the story on MLB Network. Yonder Alonso was talking about he was in a slump. And this was on my dad's birthday
he told this
story. He was like, my dad came to me and said, I'm tired of watching you make outs rolling over to second base. I want you to go in the game today. And basically the short story is I want you to hit a ground ball to short, then hit a fly ball to left field, and then we'll go from there. And he did. Went and did that. Hit a ball to hit a ground ball. His first at bat to left field. Hit a fly ball. And eventually, what that did was that reset him. And he went on a nice little hitting streak after. And so it's that mindset, like keep for a left-handed hitter, right? If you hit a ball on short to short hard on demand, that means you're at least set up in the right spot. You know what I'm saying? Now you can kind of work from there. And that's the mindset that he seems to have every at bat.
Have you seen him look out of sorts yet, Tony? I mean, I don't think I have. Now, I'm not a professional hitting coach, but he looks like he's on balance and taking a good path at the ball every time I've seen him bat so far.
I was having this conversation with Padres hitting coach Victor Rodriguez the other day. Like, it's for, and one of the things that used to happen when the likes of like Jimmy Rollins or Ryan Howard or Justin Upton, they'd come to work with my dad for a little bit, and they'd come in thinking that they're going to get like this, you know, long, elaborate, like these jewels of just hitting of how you're going to do it. And my, here's the thing is I'm watching right now.
Oh no, he's not there yet.
He's not there yet.
Okay.
He's actually about to grab the phone right now.
Okay.
Oh,
That's funny.
I love that we have someone there.
Yes,
that's
Tony
great.
Can keep an eye on it. Luis, do we have you, sir?
Hello?
Hello. There he is. Luis Arise. This is Chris here. We got, of course, Tony's upstairs in the booth, and we appreciate you joining us. I was asking, Luis, you know, we love having you in San Diego. How is it working out for you? It seems like it's been a pretty good fit so far.
Yeah, everything is pretty good. I'm excited to be here with San Diego Padres right now. So I'm enjoying here a lot, so, you know. So I'm in the great team. We have a really good clubhouse, amazing manager, amazing coach and stuff. So I'm excited. I'm happy to be here.
Luis, obviously getting traded isn't always that fun, especially when you got a family and, you know, you have to, you know, now pick up and move. I mean, how was that part difficult for you in terms of leaving Miami? I mean, I've talked to those guys on there. We've heard what Skip had to say about you having to leave. It seemed like it's been pretty tough on that organization, or at least those guys in the clubhouse. Was it tough for you having to leave?
I mean, yes, because I don't want to lie. I miss my family there because it's too far now, but I understand. I open my mind. This is my job, you know, so now I'm far, but my hair, my everything is still there, you know. So especially with my family, I miss my ex-teammates, but now I got a really good team, you know. So I'm enjoying a lot here in San Diego, and I'm excited. I'm excited to be here and then do my little thing to win games, you know. So I love Miami, the city, and then I love San Diego, California, you know.
Yeah, Luis Arise, man. We're loving this guy. I mean, he's hitting 378 since he joined the Padres. You grew up in Venezuela, and I'm just curious, Luis, everybody's kind of compared you to Tony's dad, Tony Gwynn, and a little Rod Carew, and I mean, these guys played quite a while ago. How much did you really ever get to see these guys, or where was your, you know, ability to hit with contact? Where was that? Where did that all come from?
I mean, that's come from Venezuela. Like when I was born, my dad teach me how I need to hit the ball, you know. So my dad always say, hey, son, hit the ball to the left field. Hit the ball to the left field and then just try to make contact. And that's what I do right now. So I just try to hit the ball left field, try to make contact. I hate strikeouts, you know. I don't like strikeouts. I mean, everybody don't like it, but I just enjoy when I hit the ball, but because baseball is hard to hit. But when I put my mind, I gotta hit the ball to the left field. I do a lot, so I wanna say thanks, God.
Luis, who was the guy as a kid that you saw that you were like, that's who I want to pattern my swing? I mean, obviously, you've had influence from Rod Carew. You've had a chance to have conversations. But as a kid, who were the big leaguers that you watched, that you saw, and was like, okay, this is who I want to pattern my game after?
Andy Chavez.
Yeah.
I played center field a lot when I was young. I played a lot of center field, but Andy Chavez left-handed, and I'm a righty. So anybody want to sign me because I was slow, and then I don't throw hard, you know. So Andy was so fast, and then when I saw Andy, we played together in Venezuela, in Winter Bowl. We played together, and then he teach me how I need to bond. He bond a lot, so he teach me how I need to bond, and then Andy's one of my favorites.
Andy
that's a great,
Chavez.
That's a great. I actually played with Andy in my Guyana's when I was in Venezuela. He was an awesome teammate, and he could play, man. He could really play.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, we played together in Venezuela too. So he's amazing. He was my I was close with him every time. Andy, I need this. He was there. Andy, I need. Can you teach me how I need to bond? He was there. He respects his game, man. So he's still my favorite.
Ah, all right. Luis Ariza is with us. Hey, Luis, can you take us through your at-bat? One thing I've noticed, and I've talked to Tony about it, and we see you on the TV, you know, when you step into the batter's box, the first thing you do is look around the entire field. It's almost as if you're saying, okay, where's everybody so I can hit it where they're not? Yeah. Is that your mindset? Because I don't see a lot of batters actually do that to the extent that you do that.
Yeah, because we have a lot of positioning, and then I watch a lot of third base, shortstop, second base, and the first base. And then I watch the left field. They play me every time close to the line. And then I say, okay, if I hit the ball to the line, maybe I'm out. So I got to hit the ball to the gap. And then that's why I look around, and then it's worked for me. So I need to still do that.
I mean, I hope people can just take a step back and understand, like, how difficult of a task that is.
Yes, it's one thing, Tony, to look where you want to hit it. It's another thing to actually do it.
Right. There's no doubt. But that kind of brings me to my next question, Luis. I mean, I know at some point you've invited me to come see this pregame routine. However, what is it about that routine that gets you dialed in to be able to handle your swing? It just seems like your accuracy in terms of getting to the baseball is better than everybody else, and I assume that is a lot to do with the kind of the work you put in prior to the game.
Yeah, I mean, I do my routine work in the hotel room when I'm in the road. I do it with my hitting coach, Fran Valdez, every day, no matter what time. I said the early games I do it here in the stadium, and it worked for me because I put in my mind, hey, I need to do this. I need to use my hands. I put the tee outside, middle, inside, and I don't use balls when I do my routine in the hotel room. So I put my mind ready to go. So when I get here to the stadium, I'm ready to go.
Luis Ariza is our guest. We're ecstatic to have him in San Diego and thrilled to have him on the show today. Okay, Luis, you're one of the best hitters in baseball. You know, you make contact better than anybody else. What would you do right now against your buddy, Jeremiah Estrada, who has struck out 13 in a row? what would be your plan against him right now?
Hey, my plan is get ground ball to shortstop. He ground ball to shortstop. And then if I find a barrel, I get my base hit. So he's tough, man. He threw fastball straight. He threw fastball cut a little bit, and he got pretty good splitter. And then we got a fight, but I think I got it. I got to face him. And then let's see what happens.
I would expect you to say nothing different
him.
On
yeah,
that one.
That's funny.
Luis, let me ask you. We got a few more minutes with you before we got to let you roll. You've bounced around a little bit in the infield. You've played some first. You've played some second. Where are you most naturally comfortable at defensively?
I love play second base. Yeah. Okay. I signed with the Twins when I was young. I got 60 years old. I signed with like shortstop. I play a lot of shortstop in minor league. But my position, my favorite position right now is second base. But I understand now that I can play second right now or first. And then if they put me play first or second, I go play second. But if they need me play first, I'll be available to play first in the DH.
Yeah, he's doing whatever he can to help this ball club, Luis Ariza. Last thing for me, Luis, you've got two batting titles. I think you got a chance to win a third one this year. And, of course, you know, you're in a city with where Tony's dad won 8 batting titles. I mean, it's unbelievable. 8 batting titles. How many batting titles do you think you can win, or would you like to win, or does that matter a lot to you?
I wanna win couples. I don't know how much, but how many? But I wanna win couples. So let's see first if I won this one this year. So I just wanna be healthy. If I'm healthy, man, I can win a lot of batting titles. So I just wanna say thanks to God to put me there, and then if I'm healthy, man, I can do that. So I don't know if I win 10, 8, I don't know, but it's a something coming, so I don't know.
I think you got a chance to win quite a few if you can stay healthy.
Yeah.
And so here's to long-term health for Luis and this ball club. Luis, we appreciate you coming on, man, and spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, my man.
Thanks, Luis. There he goes, Luis Ariz. Oh, man, what a fun guy. What a fun guy.
Man. And I love the confidence of like, oh
sure. Yeah,
oh,
bring Jordan away. I think I can get him.
I got him.
I think I get him. But the first thing he said is, I just want to hit a ground ball to shortstop. And then he figured, you know, he'd take it a little further and get a base hit. But
that's his mindset, ground ball to shortstop. But obviously he's trying to do more damage. But that's just how it's a thought that I used to hear my dad say often. When things got bad, and I don't know if you guys saw it, but I lost my train of thought. That's the second time in 2 days.
Yeah,
this has
you're getting old, Luis Tony.
Arise,
getting
old. Your dad.
No,
it was.
Go ahead. Y'all keep talking. I'll figure it out. Give me a second.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Here, Chris. I got it.
What do you got?
Okay. Hold on. I got it. We're gonna wait for Tony.
Oh, I figured it out.
Oh, boom. Dang it! We're the only like 1 second of Jeopardy music.
Yeah, Yonder. I don't know if you guys heard him tell the story on MLB Network. Yonder Alonso was talking about he was in a slump. And this was on my dad's birthday this story. He was like, my dad came to me and said, I'm tired of watching you make outs rolling over to second base. I want you to go in the game today. And basically the short story is I want you to hit a ground ball to short, then hit a fly ball to left field, and then we'll go from there. And he did. Went and did that. Hit a ball to hit a ground ball. His first at bat to left field. Hit a fly ball. And eventually, what that did was that reset him. And he went on a nice little hitting streak after. And so it's that mindset, like keep for a left-handed hitter, right? If you hit a ball on short to short hard on demand, that means you're at least set up in the right spot. You know what I'm saying? Now you can kind of work from there. And that's the mindset that he seems to have every at bat.
Have you seen him look out of sorts yet, Tony? I mean, I don't think I have. Now, I'm not a professional hitting coach, but he looks like he's on balance and taking a good path at the ball every time I've seen him bat so far.
I was having this conversation with Padres hitting coach Victor Rodriguez the other day. Like, it's for and one of the things that used to happen when the likes of like Jimmy Rollins or Ryan Howard or Justin Upton, they'd come to work with my dad for a little bit. And they'd come in thinking that they're going to get like this, you know, long, elaborate, like these jewels of just hitting of how you're going to do it. And my dad would get in there and be like, all right, man, take your hands back, get your foot down, take the swing. And they'd be like looking at him like, that's it?
Keep it simple.
That's what I came down here for, is for you to tell me to take my hands back, put my foot down, and take the swing. And, you know, I think the idea was we overcomplicate hitting sometimes instead of just trying to keep it simple. And I think that's what Luis does really well, is he keeps it simple. He doesn't pay attention to the metrics. He just knows what he has to do in order to give himself the best chance for success.
I think another thing that I've enjoyed, Tony, and I'm sure you've seen this too, but on an inside pitch, he gets his hands in so quickly so that he can still get the barrel of the bat on the ball. I've noticed a lot of inside pitches, he still hits it to center field, but he gets his hands in, hits it inside out, and it's really fun to watch that, along with everything else.
You asked me if I've ever seen a route. I think, I don't know which game. It might have been the second to last game. There was a bad pitch called on him. It was like a slider down. It was like he got called a fastball below the zone, and then it was like a slider even lower. And he ended up punching out because he swung at basically the slider low. That was like the closest thing I've seen to him out of sorts, because he was more irritated that he had to swing at the 0-2 pitch because the umpire just called one on him. But that's the closest thing I've seen him to out of sorts.
Well, he's like I said, he's back atop the batting race. He's got a percentage point lead on Mookie Betts. And, you know, three in a row would be pretty good. I think your dad did four in a row was his record.
Batting titles?
Yeah. Hard
yeah,
to win.
It was four.
It's hard to win a whole lot more in a row than that. I mean, just, you know, one person somewhere.
For those who may be confused a little bit, a batting title is when you were in your league, right?
No, when you yes. have the highest average.
Highest average in your league.
In your league. Because I confuse it sometimes with the position. That's a silver slugger.
That's silver slugger. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. No, Tony's dad won the four in a row, 94, 95, 96, 97. Four straight. He also won three straight in the 80s, your dad. My goodness, yeah. Eight batting titles. That's ridiculous. Where are all those silver bats, Tony Gwynn Jr.?
I think I have five at my house.
You got five? Oh, come wow. on, spread the wealth a little bit.
Yeah, give me one.
Give me one.
Yeah, right.
I'll display it
Scraby
proudly.
Would like one. Yeah, Scraby would like. I think it's fair.
Spread it to who?
Yeah, I think your dad would love to see Scraby with one. I think it would have really
he
meant something
would.
To him.
How heavy are those things?
That's like a regular bat.
Oh, okay.
It's just silver colored.
It's just silver. Yeah, they're pretty heavy.
I don't know if it's like. I mean, is it? It's got to be made out of silver, right? Or is it like tin with some silver? I don't know. I've never had a batting title in my hands.
I think it's silver. I have to. I've actually been trying to find somebody to, because they've lost the color. You know what happens to silver over time is it starts to, you know.
I'll polish them for you.
Change. This is going to take like a bigger job. If it was just simply polishing them, I would have done that already.
Yeah, true.
This is a bigger job than polishing at
true.
This point.
True. Unfortunately.
All right. There's a story on the on ESPN right here, Tony, ESPN.com, about the joy and the honor of getting to play in the East-West Classic.
Wrote that.
Over the weekend, Doug Glanville wrote this article,
yeah.
So I'm kind of making my way through this. But I really still, you know, I'm asking for everyone out there, you know, where this video is going to be. Here you are. It says, Tony Gwynn Jr. and I wondered together how hard we should play. Prince
we
Fielder,
definitely did.
Yeah, you didn't know how hard you should play, but you realized right away you better dial it up a little bit. And
That's exactly right. And that was really more of how hard everybody else is going to be playing. It's
yes,
what we were really
right.
talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well.
No, it... We definitely had that conversation before we left, because he actually did the series. Who did we play? The Dodgers, the series before? No, who did we play at home that was
before
a national?
Before you went to this game?
Well, you were at the Yankees. The Yankees were in town.
It was the Reds, I think.
Yeah,
so
Reds.
Before we left for that road trip, who did we play at home?
Oh,
I'm looking right now.
Back.
Reds, Rockies.
Before Rockies. Dodgers?
Yes, Dodgers.
So he was there for the Dodgers series.
Glanville.
And so that's that. Yeah, Glanville. So we were having that discussion a little bit then. And then when we arrived, he arrived right after I did, or right before I did. So we then had the discussion again. At that, the first discussion was he didn't think we were going to be actually playing. And then he figured out that we were, and then he wanted to get his own bats. I was going to take my bats. And then I realized how much of a hassle it was going to have another bag with bats in it. I was just like, it ain't worth it. I'm probably going to suck anyway, so I'll just swing what they have there.
Well, you didn't suck, Tony.
No.
You legendary moment.
Legendary.
Home run. But I'm asking for everybody, does anyone yet know when we're going to get... You know, some television coverage of this or video
of
this.
I don't even need to see it hit the home run.
I just want to.
Did you see that? Did you hear that? Reached out to MLB Network himself,
and they don't know.
I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything back yet. So we'll
really,
see.
I mean, they have. It's, yeah, it's there. It's,
you couldn't
it's
have just played this game
I want
in a
to
vacuum.
See the footage as much as anybody else.
Yeah,
wants to see,
it's not about us, Chris. It's about Tony seeing his own home run.
And how did you get to wear the Homestead gray uniform? Was that just what you got?
That's just what I got.
You got. I love the Grays.
Yeah.
The Homestead Grays.
A team that
I believe was located near Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken.
Homestead
Grays, yeah.
All right.
There's a great picture of you here in this article, Tony, with Ryan Howard coming across home plate and you there waiting with everyone else to congratulate
him. Oh, for the walk-off, yeah.
Yeah, for the walk-off home run.
You're very excited.
All right, T. On you go to get ready for the broadcast. Good interview there. He'll be back for the Big Five.
Yes.
And we got a final hour, Gwen and Chris, ahead.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.